A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Sota Mem Hei, Sota 45A, pagination is 89. We're going to start on the facing page, though. Towards the bottom, where the new Perek and Mishnah begin. Egla Arufa. The topic of the Egla Arufa, which is found in the Chumash at the end of Parsha Shoftim, the concept that a person was found killed and he's out of the city, and we have to measure to which city he is closest, and that city is going to be held responsible in terms of this ritual atoning for the death of the person. Obviously, we're going to want to find out what the role of the ritual is and what the blame that's being placed on this city actually is. The Mishnah tells us, B'Lashon HaKodesh, the process is done in Lashon HaKodesh, in the Holy Tongue, sanctified Hebrew, biblical Hebrew, and that is actually the link that caused us to be discussing this in Maseches Sota, because there was a section describing what things have to be done in Lashon HaKodesh and which not. Sota did not get done in Lashon HaKodesh specifically. We wanted to make sure the woman understood what we were saying. But over here, it is necessary for the people to understand what they're saying, but they're going to have to learn or know from before Lashon HaKodesh. Now, the Mishnah and the Gemara discuss very specific criteria, what the case of the Egla Arufa process has to do with. On the first wide line, for example, it says, Ba'adama, the dead body has to have been found on the ground. If he was found in the water, if he was found on a tree, if he was found hidden, these are not going to qualify. It has to be Ba'adama, lying on the ground. If we move on to Memhei Amud Beis, pagination is 90, so you'll see on the third wide line, Nimtza Mechuvan Ben Shtei Ayoros, the technical approach to what happens if it appears that the body is found between two cities. How do we decide which city has to do this process? Likewise, at the end of the Mishnah, another technicality, May Ayin Hayu Modedin, from where on the body did they do the calculation from? Did they measure from? From the navel, from the nostrils, from the neck. Technicalities. How the mitzvah was actually done. Also, towards the bottom of the page, Nachal Eson, four lines from the bottom. There was a rule that it had to be a valley or Nachal stream. And this has two approaches. The approach that's found in Art Scroll's translation of the Chumash is a harsh valley, a place that does not have things growing, and likewise it would be forbidden to plant in this place where they're going to do the ritual. Presumably, the logic is that we're symbolizing how this person was cut off tragically at the prime of life, regardless of his age. If he was alive, he still had potential, and the fact that he was cut off is being viewed as a tragedy. The Rambam describes Nachal Eson as a stream, sheshotef b'chazaka, that flows strongly, a fast-flowing stream. And that's the place that was chosen for this ritual, for this process. And perhaps the concept of the flowing water at that spot symbolizes that life is going on. It's a stream. We find, for example, that tashlich, similar to the way we coronate a king, is best done by flowing water. L'ma'an yarich yomim al mamlachto. It's an expression of the ongoing process of the kingship, that it should have an ongoing blessing to it. And in this case, we're contrasting how we're going to chop the animal's head in this process to symbolize at this spot of flowing water, this particular person was cut off. Now, the process was that its head was chopped off from the back using a utensil. The animal's head was chopped. It's an abnormal method. It's doing it from the back. We encountered the word oref as in orpa before on Membeis Amid Beis 42b, where bia shalo kedarka, relations from the back, was described as oref, which is the back of the neck, but it's also where you view front as more normal. The back is an extra expression of abnormal, and this person was abnormally terminated, and we express that for the heightened sense of grief of what occurred. Now, what is fascinating about the process, and heart-wrenching, perhaps, is that the elders of the city have to take responsibility here, and they have to recognize that it is possible. One could make the accusation that they are responsible for this person's death. And they're going to deny it, but that itself, the fact that you have to deny it, is an acceptance of general responsibility as to how far-reaching leadership goes. One line up from the bottom, Ve'omrim, they say, Yodenu lo shavchu es hadom hazeh, ve'enenu lo ra'u. We did not spill this blood of the person who died, and our eyes did not witness it. We're not responsible. Asks the Gemara, V'chi al daltenu also, did anybody think, Shezikne bezdin shavchei damim heim, that the elders, the people of the court, were the murderers? That never entered our mind. What are they denying here exactly? And the Gemara answers, Ela shelo bo'al yodenu ufetranuhu belo mazon. He didn't come to us, and we let him go without provisions. Case number one. And number two, velo ri'inuhu v'hinachnuhu belo levoya. And we didn't see him and leave him go out of the city without accompaniment, without walking him a few paces out of town and showing that he has friends and support. And this statement is describing two different possibilities in the tragedy. One possibility of the tragedy is that this traveler did not have food. He was desperate, so he approached somebody else desperately demanding food, to the point that he was willing to steal food, and someone killed him in self-defense. And that's why he's lying here, because he was killed, and the person didn't even bother covering up, because he felt very self-righteous that he killed the person. And what might have precipitated that was that we let the person out of town in desperate straits without provisions. The second application, possibility, is that not that he attacked somebody and was killed as a result, but that bad people approached him, tried to steal his money, felt he was vulnerable, saw a lone traveler that no one would avenge, and they killed him. And that could have been averted, the Gemara is telling us, had he been accompanied out of town. Because when the robbers are eyeing people and looking for somebody who has no friends, who will not be avenged, they watched him leave town without anybody accompanying him. And here we have a responsibility placed on the leadership that the standards of the community have to be to provide provisions and to accompany people. And if those standards are not in place, then indeed the leaders would have to take responsibility. Other aspects of their responsibility can be found in the Ramban. The Ramban says on some level they're responsible because their merit should have protected anybody in their boundaries, in their vicinity. And if they are the closest city, then the leaders of the city have to take responsibility that their merit wasn't sufficient to protect. We'll stop there, and in the next session, Emet Hashem, we'll talk about Levaya, the concept of accompaniment. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.